Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, August the 8th, 2012. While Tucson had one of the wettest Julys, the rest of the country had the hottest July on record. Now we have the heat and the humidity for, it looks like, the next 7 days or so, around 106. We will get through it. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program to three different websites every day, so you can hear this program anywhere and anytime. buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com has our show prominently displayed on their homepage, as does tucsonsentinel.com. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to one. Have another full hour for you. We will begin with our newsmaker interview of the day. Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott joins me in studio. Then what about this blood supply problem, the blood shortage? The worst in 15 years? We'll talk with the Red Cross, their top man in Tucson, Richard White. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll launch a new series. We call it Technology, and that is technology in business in the workplace. Then 45 minutes past the hour, Elaine Richardson will join us. She's a Democrat who is hoping to become Pima County's next treasurer. We encourage you to join the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line number 790-2040. We also would gladly accept your question if you want to send us a question on Facebook. Our growing number of friends, thank you. We're folks who log on to Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show on Facebook page. Now, Shirley Scott. Shirley, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, sir, and I'm glad to see you again.
Nice to see you. How is the median cleanup doing? We're into, I think, about the fourth month of trying to clean up these medians.
Well, things were going along swimmingly. I think people everywhere across the city will have noticed significant changes in the medians. And then, of course, the monsoons came and encouraged regrowth.
Yeah, all the weeds that were picked, all of the weeds that were picked up, well, they're back.
Well, probably, yeah. But they continue to persist, and we're very proud of the folks who are doing that, because I think they're doing a crackerjack job out there. It's hot, it's humid, and it's probably work that most people would not want to get up in the morning to do,
yeah.
But they are doing it, and I salute them.
Well, you know the number one topic on people's mind, the roads. They're in terrible shape. We need to fix them. And the city is going to go ahead with a bond, general obligation bond, $100 million general obligation to fix Tucson's crumbling roads. What's at stake for the average taxpayer?
Well, in terms of money, it will cost about $18 per $100,000 worth of property value. And that will mean an obligation for 5 years. It's a total of $100 million to be divided approximately $20 million per year for 5 years, and then we'll have finished that bond. There will be a citizens' oversight committee created. Each member of the mayor and council will nominate one person, and the city manager will nominate four. So there will be a citizens' oversight committee named of 11 people who will make sure that money which comes in will be used for the purposes stated. So it is a hope that the folks who are still strapped economically, I know, will look at this and say, you know, I have been complaining a lot about the streets I drive in. There are a lot of potholes. Everybody's sick to death of them. This is the first time that we will have a dedicated, only to that, revenue source to directly make sure those roads that need the greatest work will be addressed. Now, don't forget that I have a statistic here.
Okay.
Since 2002, the state legislature swept over $80 million from our transportation-related funds. So that's why we need to have some sort of dedicated resource to address the issue that's before us. When someone takes away money from your budget, $80 million total, that would be $23 million from the so-called HERF funds and $32 million from the lottery monies that come in that have a portion for transportation. They took that money to balance their budget. So here we sit with almost no money ready to take on the huge exercise of addressing the pothole issues throughout this community. We all know they're crumbling. We all drive them. We know where they are. The city knows exactly what's wrong with them. You just need money.
Yeah, and we'll see if voters are willing to put some money into this, because certainly everybody complains enough about the roads. One thing folks do complain about, red light cameras, we're going to have them, I guess, for another year. And I know the police department feels this has, they've been citing that it has reduced accidents.
Absolutely. If you take a look at some of the charts and graphs that document the number of incidents where fatalities have occurred at certain intersections, they used to be very high numbers, and now they're almost negligible. So in spite of the fact that people do not like the idea, there's statistics that prove these red cameras, these cameras actually make a difference for those who used to feel free to run red lights. Remember in some years ago, Tucson was listed as the fourth city in the United States of America that had the worst red light running incidents.
Yeah, I think we were in that top five for many years, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And several Arizona cities were also in there. But so the police are saying it is saving lives. Folks do grumble about it because especially those left turns can get kind of tricky.
Absolutely. And I guess being more prudent and safe rather than pushing the envelope per intersection, if it costs you another minute, if that's going to make a difference in your life besides getting to a place a little bit more tardy than you had hoped, I think that's worth it if it saves your life.
Shirley Scott is with us, Tucson City Councilwoman, and I want to talk to you a little bit about last night's council meeting. The council decided to declare Tucson an immigrant welcoming city. What is this all about?
What this is that SB 1070 created quite a brouhaha across the country, and a lot of people had not read it thoroughly, but they have. The Supreme Court has now made some judgments about it. And what this says is basically, if you don't happen to be a United States citizen, you should not worry. Don't forget, the word went out nationally that Arizona was a place where you might get grabbed off the street and taken away and you never heard from again.
Yeah, a place that immigrants should actually avoid.
Yes. And so this means that there were many people who were very frightened by this, and there are still people living here who are very insecure about their status with regard to the police force and perhaps even Border Patrol. But if you have not incurred any kind of perpetrated any crimes, if you haven't been pulled over for some heinous thing, you should not be concerned overly about your status unless you're really in trouble somehow that we don't know about at this moment. But what this thing is, this memorial, simply says, we as a community are willing to talk about this. We're going to have some community conversations and talk about what racial profiling is, that our chief, Roberto Villaseñor, has had the obligation to protect public safety of all people living and traveling within the city of Tucson, regardless of their status. That's his job.
And I think he's worried, too.
Yes.
Councilwoman, that folks who are immigrants would be afraid to call the police and call in a crime because they feel it might lead to questioning about their particular situation.
Exactly. And there are several of those incidents that we know about. And so this is really saying, let's talk about all of these things. Let's bring in anybody who is interested in this and have their views aired. And let's talk about what this really means, which is we are not going to grab you off the street and make you disappear. I mean, that's really at the heart of this.
Shirley Scott is with us. I want to ask you about that front page story in the Star about all the high paid people at Tucson City Hall.
You know, when you have people who are in certain professions, such as municipal workers at the highest level, you have to look at what is fair pay and where they could go in another city or another town and have the same salary. So you do a comparison. The people who work in the city at the highest level actually are being paid what is the going rate, if you will, for their quality and professionalism. And then in addition, unfortunately, there were some police officers who were included in a list. And here's what the real other side of the story is. A police officer can only earn X number of dollars based on his seniority and number of years of service. So let's say that that caps out at an arbitrary number here, 60,000. You see that person's name and they say, well, this person earned 100,000. Well, they didn't get it from 100% from the city. They got 60,000 base salary. And then, as you know, private industry hires police officers to go out
to supplement their income.
And they get paid by them. And so that is never included in these stories. They get that money from other sources that are private sources. And yes, it is part of their annual salary, but the city stops at their cap and then they pick up extra elsewhere.
What's this bioscience? I know we're running out of time here, but you were recently at a meeting of the bioscience. What do they call it? Bioscience Leadership Council of Southern Arizona. Is this a new organization?
It's one that I became aware of recently, and I think it's very dynamic. This is a group of businesses who are looking for more in a networking with regard to the biosciences and how they can help each other attract new business, create new jobs, and new wealth. I think it's a wonderful organization. I was not completely aware of what they did, and I went to one of their meetings just to hear what they do. I'm very impressed with them, and I hope that they are as successful as I think they hope to be.
Yeah, and their organization is over on North Campbell, and again, the name of the organization is Biosciences Leadership Council of Southern Arizona. Lots of folks talking about the biosciences, and they do that group of industry cluster does provide high-paying, good jobs.
Absolutely.
In our area.
And because of the quality of who they are, they will attract more and more. And that's the kind of job that we would like to attract to the city of Tucson.
Shirley Scott, good to see you. Have you had your summer vacation yet?
I had a few days. I thank you, sir. And I certainly hope all those who are out there and aware, there are a lot of kids in school these days. School started very early, so be careful when you go through school zones. We love our children. We want them to be safe.
All right. Councilwoman Shirley Scott, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up now on 12:18 on this midweek edition. We'll be back. Richard White is here from the American Red Cross.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of galleries, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. Plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila Guest House. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org. The American Red Cross says its national blood supply is at its lowest level in 15 years. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Richard White. Mr. White is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Red Cross. Richard, how are you today?
Bill, I'm well. Thank you for inviting me onto your program.
Why are we seeing such a low supply of blood in the country right now?
There's several reasons that the blood supply is low. One of them is that during the summer months, this is seasonal, that so many people are on vacation, the universities are not in session, and a lot of people who we count on as regular donors are not around or are of a mindset that they really just want to take some time off. In addition, we continue to have a situation where a lot of individuals who would like to donate blood are not eligible either because of illness or medication or because they have lived in parts of the world where there are diseases and illnesses that make it unsafe for American Red Cross to take their blood and transfuse it into patients who most often have weakened immune systems.
Are we in a little better shape than some areas of the country? The story in USA Today recently said that some areas are in real dire circumstances and folks are having to postpone surgeries.
Here in Southern Arizona, we are doing a lot better than we were as recently as 1 month ago. The publicity through the media urging people to donate and alerting them to the crisis fortunately brought a lot of people forward. And when I'm speaking to groups and I'm talking with you, what I'll mention to people is if every current donor would give blood one additional time each year and or bring one donor with him or her when they come to one of the blood centers, we could virtually shut down ever having a crisis here. It would be that simple. Only about 5% of the American public donate blood. But again, if they would, if people give one more time or bring one new donor with them each time, we could avert crises.
Richard White is with us. He's the executive director of the Southern Arizona Red Cross. What kind of a year are you having, Richard, as financially?
We're having a difficult year. Southern Arizona continues to be a generous giving community, and we're fortunate that individuals and businesses and foundations support the Red Cross. We certainly could use more. Like many agencies, we are finding more and more people are coming to the Red Cross at often the worst point in their lives. The numbers of house fires, floods, we continue to work with 3 to 4 to 5 families every single week and sometimes a lot more. They need meals, they need new clothing, they need shelter, mental health services. And often they will ask us to pay the first month's rent and even the security deposit if they can't afford it. All of this, as you well know, Bill, is a gift from the American people through the American Red Cross. With the exception of some grants for our Armed Forces program, we receive no government funds. We are virtually 100% dependent on the generosity of the Southern Arizona community.
And how can people get involved, not only with donating blood, but helping you with a financial gift?
Well, if people would like to make a financial gift, they can go to redcross.org. It is a secure website, and they can make a credit card donation. Your listeners can also call our office in Tucson, 520-318-6740. And they can also send a check to our offices. Our address is 2916 East Broadway, Tucson, 85716.
As far as donating blood, is it best to go to the website to check the locations out and the requirements are listed, who would qualify?
Yes. Your listeners should go to redcrossblood.org. That's redcrossblood.org. They will learn the locations and the times and how they can schedule an appointment so that they don't have a long wait when they arrive at the donor center. Going through redcrossblood.org calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, they also can get answers to confidential questions about their eligibility.
So we have had tighter rules on donating blood. That could be one of the reasons for the lower supply.
The rules are tight, and it's important that people understand that most of all of the rules are set by the FDA. These are not Red Cross regulations. We have people calling often who are very disappointed that they have been turned away for giving blood when they revealed that they had lived in England for 3 months or Europe for 6 months, or they had traveled to parts of Mexico and Central and South America where there is danger of diseases spread by mosquitoes. And this is not the Red Cross wanting to turn donors away. We have to ensure that every pint of blood we collect and test and send to hospitals is 100% safe, particularly because it's going into the bodies of vulnerably sick people.
Is there a particular need for any any blood type? Do you have a shortage in any area there?
We are particularly looking for O negative and O positive and A negative and B negative. We will welcome donors with any blood type. Many of your listeners may not know what their blood type is. But again, O negative and O positive, A negative and B negative are the blood types that are in greatest demand at all times.
Luckily, we haven't had any major disasters or weather events so far, knock on wood, that has taken a lot of the resources for the Red Cross. Last year, we had the horrible tornadoes in Joplin. We've been lucky so far, haven't we, this year?
We've been fortunate, but we still are in the middle of hurricane season as far as the National Red Cross is keeping an eye on the country. And the fear of wildfires and other calamities here in Southern Arizona is always present.
Thank you very much, Richard White. And once again, if people are interested in donating blood, probably the best way would be to go to your website, redcross.org. Did I get that correct?
That is correct, redcross.org.
And Richard also gave you the numbers. If folks would like to donate or make a financial contribution, always welcome to the Red Cross. Richard White, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you too, Bill.
Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll launch a new segment, Technology in the Workplace. That's coming up next as we continue with the midweek edition of Buckmaster.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. It's official. Syria's prime minister has defected to Jordan. The Jordanian officials, as well as rebel officials in Syria, say the prime minister crossed into Jordan at dawn today after 2 days of hiding out inside his homeland. Iraqi officials say a car bomb has gone off in a Shiite city south of Baghdad. 11 people killed in that bombing. The FBI says investigators have not identified anyone other than the gunman as being responsible for the shootings last Sunday at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin that left 6 people dead. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 16 points, while the S&P 500 index currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition, 1234. Today we launch a new monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show focusing on technology in the workplace. Our technology series is presented by Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona businesses through a world-class network providing voice, data, and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dan Ranieri. He is the president and CEO of La Frontera in Tucson. Dan, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Well, the La Frontera, the core of La Frontera has always been behavioral issues, behavioral health. But you've really kind of changed the brand over the last couple of years, haven't you, to expand that?
Yeah, we have. We started about 44 years ago. And predominantly what we have done over the years is behavioral health care. But we rebranded ourselves a couple of years ago to talk more about community problem solving. And we brand ourselves as people who come up with innovative solutions to pretty significant community problems, things like homelessness, violent behaviors, economic development, dropout prevention, suicide prevention, substance abuse prevention, things along those lines. And that's really been our predominant focus.
You've expanded into the housing area too.
Yeah, we
you?
Have.
I didn't realize that.
We decided probably about 10 or 12 years ago that we wanted to really do more work in the whole area of senior services because we're all getting a little bit older. And figured out that the best way to do that was to try to embed services into senior housing. So to do that, we had to get involved in senior housing. Well, one thing kind of led to another. We've gotten involved in a fairly large scale, way, and we're probably now the largest developer of affordable housing in Southern Arizona.
There's a huge need too.
Yeah,
for
there
that.
Is. Yeah, and now's actually a good time to do it. You know, the housing market, as we all know in Arizona, has been pretty difficult, but that's really opened up the possibility of doing affordable housing in an affordable way, and the demand for that type of housing has grown precipitously.
You know, the legislation and the current economic climate certainly affects your organization, anybody that's in the healthcare business, behavioral health. It's forefront of what's going on right now. How is it affecting you?
Well, you know, the demand has gone up because we predominantly provide behavioral health care to lower-income individuals, particularly those who are eligible and enrolled in the ACCESS program, which is Arizona's version of Medicaid. But the funding has gone down substantially. So we've probably taken, I got to say, about a 20 to 25% reduction in funding in Tucson over the last couple of years, but the demand has probably gone up about 10%. So that's been challenging. The other piece of it is with the passage of the Affordable Health Care Act and the ratification of that by the Supreme Court is going to provide a lot of new opportunities, additional markets, and a tremendous amount of complexity. And so we're in the process of kind of preparing for that right now as well.
Yeah, you know, it is very complex, and I guess that's where technology can really help you out, right?
Oh, absolutely. We several years ago, we've tried to do everything we do on paper electronically. So we have electronic medical records. We have multiple websites. We actually have about 15 corporations right now. Most of them have a separate website. We have an intranet, intercompany intranet. So the technology piece has been critical for us. I don't know how we could keep up or do what we do nowadays if it wasn't for some of the technology advances that we've been fortunate enough to have available to us.
And you switched over to Cox.
Yeah. We've done that recently and been extremely pleased. They've really helped us expand and refine our infrastructure, and done so at a we're a nonprofit organization. We don't have a lot of money floating around, and they've been absolutely wonderful to work with, both from a cost standpoint and from a customer service standpoint. They've been really supportive of us.
Dan Ranieri is with us. He's president and CEO of La Frontera. Do you ever see a day where you can provide maybe more services to people through the use of technology, Dan?
Yeah, actually, as an employer, we have 800 and some employees. And on the healthcare product that we purchased for our employees, we have a web product so that I or any of our employees who have health insurance through us can actually get on the internet with a physician at any 24 hours a day and can actually even get prescriptions that way. It's fairly new. I actually think we're going to see more and more of that.
Are you saying you can connect with a physician online 24/7?
Yes. That's part of our insurance plan.
Wow.
We actually demanded that. We put our insurance out to bid and demanded that, and that's part of what we're receiving. We also, as a provider, are looking at how we can do stuff like that. We're developing a brand, a part of La Frontera. We're developing some software application programs that people can use for various things. On an iPhone, an iPad, a laptop. So we're going to see more and more of that happening.
What's the future of La Frontera? And a little bit about how did La Frontera start? And you said it was over 40 years ago.
Yeah, 1968, it was part of the Mental Health Care Act, Community Mental Health Care Act, which is the last piece of legislation that President Kennedy signed. And we were one of the original community mental health centers that was funded that way. We've grown over the years. We're pretty large now. Like I said, we have about 15 corporations, about 800 employees.
That's one of Southern Arizona's largest employers then.
Yeah. And we're going to expand. I mean, our goal is we get better integrated into the communities where we're involved, and we understand, get a better idea of what significant community problems are. We will come up with ways to address those problems. We're involved with almost every school district in Pima County to convert their middle schools into community schools where we can have after-school programming and weekend programming not only for the families that attend the school but for anybody who lives in those neighborhoods. We're involved in veteran services. We've created a company called Rally Point, which will provide services to veterans by veterans. There's a lot of different things that we're involved in right now. And it's an exciting time. I don't see an end to it, quite frankly. And I'm fortunate enough in my position that's something I can focus on.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing about all these companies that you've started and all these different services, I can see how you need a broadband company like a Cox to kind of manage all of this and keep it under one umbrella. I mean, it gets kind of complex, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the expertise we have within our company and the vendors we deal with and the services that we provide. I never would have dreamed about this 10 years ago, to be honest with you.
How long have you been with La Frontera?
I'm in my 18th year.
Yeah, and you have a background in behavioral health?
I'm a clinical psychologist.
And how has La Frontera grown? I mean, we talked about some of the areas, but with 800 employees and the culture of the company has pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah, yes and no. The culture... our values have stayed the same. It really is like a large family. We've kept a lot of those type of things, but I think over the years we've become more forward-thinking and more flexible in how we do stuff. I think we have the best of both worlds.
Dan Ranieri, the president and CEO of La Frontera. Dan, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
The technology series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona businesses through a world-class network of providing voice, data, and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. Rip.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Right now at 12:47, this portion of our program brought to you by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Now we continue with our candidate interview series here on the Buckmaster Show. Today we welcome Democrat Elaine Richardson, who wants to be Pima County's next treasurer. Ms. Richardson was Arizona Real Estate Commissioner from 2003 to 2007. She's a former Arizona state lawmaker serving 10 years at the Capitol. At one time, she was the Senate Judiciary Committee chair. Elaine, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill, even though we're in a different venue
than
we usually
are. Yeah, we talked many times on the TV show over the years, and here we are now on radio. You are deciding to go and are running for Pima County Treasurer. Why did you decide to take that step?
Well, before I answer that, I would like to first, if it's okay with you,
Sure. Thank
Doug Martin, your general manager, and KVOI for hosting that wonderful candidates forum last week at Prestige Auto. I attended and was so happy to see so many of my old friends talk with some new friends. And who knows, maybe KVOI is a front runner and other stations will follow along. And I just want to say kudos.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and it was well attended. 790-2040, by the way. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line if you have a question or comment for Elaine Richardson. So your next goal in life, to be the Pima County Treasurer.
Absolutely, and I'm very excited about this, Bill. And I know you asked me, why am I running? Let me start with what I'm going to end with, actually. I feel in a free market economy like ours, consumer choice is one of the fundamental pillars on which it was built. I will assure that taxpayers have that fundamental right. For instance, to me, status quo is adequate for fulfilling statutory duties, but I do not see where there has been any forward movement to any significance to help the taxpayer, for instance, in technological advances. Do you believe that in this day and age, we cannot even pay our taxes online with a credit card? You can do that in Maricopa. We can do that anywhere. That's just one of the issues. If you could pay with a credit card, then we come down to part number two. Why not e-billing? E-billing would be something that would follow right along. There are, of course, one burning issue that has been coming to me, and since I've been running, people have been calling me about not receiving timely notices of delinquency from the treasurer's office, even though they're asking for bills. Why is that important? Because by not getting adequate notice, there are many people who do not know that they are delinquent for one reason or another. And this is the path to foreclosure that we could possibly enjoy. This is not a small issue.
What about the issue of securing those e-bills and credit card information online? Would that be a problem?
It would certainly not be a problem if it's done properly. They're doing it in Maricopa County. I will say, when I was commissioner of the Department of Real Estate, I got to an agency that was in dire need of improvement. No discredit to the commissioner before me. He had been ill and had not been at the office for quite a while. However, it was very, very far behind in technology. I can equate the two because having a real estate broker or agent to get a license, you have to pay for it. And what would happen is they'd all have to come to Phoenix from Prescott and Flagstaff or Tucson. And that was terrible. So what I did was I was the first agency in the state of Arizona to put in online licensing system for professional licenses. These same types of questions came up. They were solved very easily. We had the question come up of who was going to pay it. That got solved. I equate that to the treasurer's office and wanting to take the treasurer's office at least to the length that I took the real estate department to, and it can be done. Security online, of course, is always an issue, and there's more and more safeguards.
The technology, then, you're saying really needs to be modernized in the treasurer's office, the information technology area.
Yes, very much so. Right now, you could pay online with a check, but that is becoming more archaic all the time. There are people that, well, we're Arizona. We have people that have first and second homes here that don't stay here all year and rely on their credit or debit card to pay many of their bills while they're traveling. This is not an unusual situation. And look at your electric bill. Look at your gas bill. Look at your Netflix, for heaven's sakes. That automatically comes out of your checkbook if you choose. And this is where I go back to that free market economy, customer choice. Why cannot we do that? And which, again, now brings us, and I don't want to load you with too much information, but if we're doing that type of thing, then why not monthly? Why not quarterly? If there's some small statute change that needs to happen, who better than I to make that change? The years I was in the legislature, Bill, I was in the minority party, as you know, and never let that stop me because my issues are centrist. I got 90% of my legislation passed. And that's because my legislation was basically not partisan issues. It's what's going to benefit the consumer, the taxpayer. That's what I intend to do right now.
Elaine Richardson is with us. She's a Democrat hoping to unseat the Republican incumbent Pima County Treasurer Beth Ford. And you do have your experience, I mentioned, in the legislature, not only in the Senate, but also the House of Representatives. And you were on the cabinet for Governor Napolitano's cabinet.
Yes, I was. While I was real estate commissioner, I was on the cabinet with Governor Napolitano. And more important, what I think many people in Pima County know about me, and many people may not, I'm a small business owner, have been for many, many years. I know how to make a payroll. I know how to run a business. I know how to run one successfully, which I have done a few of them. And that is something to me that's invaluable, because when you're looking at businesses, one of the biggest issues they have is taxes. If they own their building, they're paying property taxes. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could budget their taxes and not be hit twice a year with some large amount?
Do you think we could improve the treasurer's office, the financial situation of the county, by being a little more forthcoming with where each taxpayer stands, so to speak?
Absolutely. And here we go to education and outreach. So many people I've talked to say, well, what does the treasurer do? And I intend to put a face on that treasurer's office. I intend to be everywhere as I am with my past careers. I've certainly been visible and a member of the community and an advocate for small business issues, and always have been. Yes, I will take this to the public. Public should be informed of what's happening to them.
Other issues that you have beside the upgrading of the technology and outreach?
Yes, there are many other issues. For instance,
give us a few more.
I'll give you a few more just for fun.
Okay.
For instance, I had a meeting this week with someone from another Pima County office. There is money right now to help people who may be behind on their taxes. That money is sitting there, and yet there's no advocacy coming out of or collaboration, as you will, where the treasurer's office could let people know, and I'm talking about people that have possibly been in their home for many years. The situation has changed. We're in very unusual economic times right now. And to have an outreach and say, okay, you can go access this department and they possibly can help you in this situation. Just for fun, I've got another idea, the one that I really love, and for some reason people love this one as I talk about it. Again, remote places in Pima County would be Ajo, Oro Valley, Green Valley maybe, if you will, or someone who's a shut-in and can't or doesn't have access to a computer. My idea is to partner with libraries and have a secure kiosk with a computer. Even if a person is not computer literate, I would design it where there's one button that they would push, and it would be a Skype-like issue, and people would be able to have FaceTime with the treasurer or someone from the office that can help them, possibly pay their taxes online with their credit card, and get the help they need without having to drive all the way into Tucson. Now, some of these thoughts I have are very aggressive, but I will tell you, going back to my 90% of legislation, everybody said, you're very aggressive with your – and I was there 10 years. I did it year after year. I get the job done, Bill.
Quick question about real estate, since you are the former Arizona Real Estate Commissioner. Is the market improving? I mean, we keep reading in the paper that the home values still have not come up and turned the corner.
I think, well, everybody has had a thought, and this is only a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has had a thought about where is the bottom. I do feel we've hit the bottom. That's a good news. I believe from what I've seen in Pima County, I think we're a little better off than they are in Maricopa County. And I have hope. It may be 3 to 5 years before we see the market where we want it. But remember, we took a tremendous jump, and then we took a tremendous fall. Pima County, we fell less. But yes, I see the market coming up. Just this past week in my neighborhood, which is West University, one home sold for $225 a foot, which is a good amount.
Yeah, that is. Well, I look forward to having you and Beth Ford perhaps sitting down together for a half an hour here on the program. That would be very entertaining.
I think it would. I think it would be good.
So where can people get more about your campaign, Elaine Richardson?
I have a website. It is www.richardsonfortreasurer.com. And they may write to me at Richardson or Elaine Richardson, P.O. Box 43972, Tucson 85733, or they may phone me at 520, of course, 792-4589.
Elaine Richardson, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Pima County Treasurer candidate as the Democrat running against the incumbent Beth Ford. Should be very interesting. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up now on 59 past the hour, the Buckmaster Show, our bottled water provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products. We love Culligan water, and why do we like it so much? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. That is going to do it for the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll lead off the show tomorrow with the Secretary of State, Ken Bennett, Secretary of State of Arizona, will be our lead-off guest at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.